So, oh, and by the way, happy new fear. And when I just sort of are actually happy new year, who would have thought that 2020 would have brought the things that that it did? And unfortunately for a lot of people, especially some of our senior adults, it has been really a year of fear. And as Christ followers, while we do want to be cautious, we don't want to be fearful. And today we're going to be looking at three different passages that will help us to really take our focus as Christ followers for this new year. Lao Tzu, an ancient Chinese philosopher, said that we shape clay, we shape clay into a pot, but it is the emptiness inside that holds whatever we want. So really common sense is that, yes, when you have a cup, it's empty, there's space in there, and it's there to hold your beverage, your coffee, your tea, your orange juice, whatever you want to put in there. And in a sense, 2021 is an empty vessel ready for us to fill. Of course, how we fill it will determine on how we respond to God's shaping in our lives as his earthly vessels for use. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So our bodies are like earthen vessels also, clay pottery, if you will, to be used by God to display his power. And so we have 2021 ahead of us to be able to fill up that year by being used by God to do just that. So as I mentioned, we'll be looking at three different passages from the Bible that will serve to frame our thinking for this new year. And after each one of these passages that we go through, one of our deacons will come up and lead us in a prayer focus on that specific passage. Our first passage is from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26, then 57 through 62. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open up to that passage. The first couple of verses we're reading is 23 through 25, and it says this, "And he," referring to Jesus, "said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now you notice Jesus does not make it easy believism. There is some teeth to following him. When you confess him as Lord, you are confessing that he is going to be the leader and that you are going to set aside your own preferences, your own desires. It goes on, "For whoever who would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Now the imagery here in this passage is a bit blunted today. We view crosses as beautiful things, objects of beauty. People will wear a silver or a gold cross around their neck. We put crosses in our stained glass windows in churches. And churches, a lot of churches have crosses on top of their steeples. And I've heard a lot of people will look at a painting of a cross or a necklace of a cross and say, "Oh, how beautiful that is." But in Jesus' day, they didn't really consider it anything that was beautiful. It was a form of capital punishment. It was a form of death. It was a symbol of death. So if we were to translate it today, maybe the closest thing we would have is maybe the electric chair. Now, can you imagine somebody wearing a little tiny electric chair, like old Sparky from Florida, on their necklace, a little gold one or a silver one, and people going, "Oh, isn't that cute? Where did you get that?" Or Pandora make a little bracelet with a little Sparky hanging off of it, right? I mean, we wouldn't do that. If somebody were to walk in here and see a stained glass window with an electric chair on it, they would probably be wondering, where have they come to? Or if we had one on the steeple that was kind of neon with the little sparks shooting out from it. Anyway, people would just think we would be morbid. And rightly so. But here, when Jesus talks about taking up the cross, he's literally saying, you've got to be willing to die. Not just to your own self and self-interest, but actually willing to die for the cause of the kingdom. Now, a few days later, maybe even a couple weeks later, Jesus had an encounter with three different individuals. In verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Well, that guy disappeared. We don't know anything else about this conversation. He apparently left. To another he said, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So here are three people who seemingly want to follow Jesus. However, when Jesus questions them a little bit more, their commitment was really kind of lacking. They're only half-hearted. They didn't want to yield to their preferences or their self-interest. They came up with excuses of why they could not fully serve Christ. They failed to count the cost of what it actually meant to follow him. And none were willing to take up their cross and crucify their own self-interest. So as we enter 2021, we come to our time when we can renew ourselves. And as we do that, we cannot afford to be a prisoner to the past. We are called to keep our eyes focused, to put our hands to the plow and our eyes forward, concentrating on the commitment that we made to follow Jesus, renewing what it means for us to set aside the things of the past, to crucify our self-interest, our preferences, in order to serve him without worrying about what we might have given up or what's behind us that we might have lost. For a plowman to be successful in his work, he must concentrate on the job before him and complete it. And he knows the only way to do that and to do it well is to keep his focus forward and not look at the things behind. So we are called to keep our focus on the future, on what is before us, and on God's kingdom. So I'm going to ask Craig Sammons, one of our deacons, come and now to lead us in a prayer and helping us to remind ourselves to keep our eyes forward.
Father God, thank you for your love for us. You have demonstrated your goodness towards us, even though we did not deserve it. Father, you have completed your mission for us to redeem us. You did not look back. As Christ, you showed us true love, true dedication, true power, true commitment. And you gave it not because we deserved it, but because you loved us so much. And Lord, we just pray that we would follow your lead, that we would deny ourselves, that we would not focus on the past that would keep us from the future within your kingdom. Father, we ask that we fulfill your commission, the great commission. Let us go out and be the fishers of men that we should be, because the kingdom of God has been given to all mankind. There is not one that you did not want to give it to. You wanted all to come to you. So let us focus on what really matters. It's the souls, the lives of all people. And Lord, we're just so grateful that you have given us the opportunity to be your servants, to demonstrate your love to the entire world. Father, just give us the heart and let us not look backward, but press forward to your word, your life, and your way in our lives, so that it may reflect who you are to others so that they can see who you are. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for paying the penalty of our sin and putting it upon yourself so that we can live. And we're so grateful for your Son. And it's through his name that we pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 11, there's a list of individuals who exercised faith at one point in their lives, and they were commended for it. Now, when you read the names there, some of them are kind of heroes of the faith. Some of them live a lifelong devotion to God with a few lapses in that devotion. Others kind of lived a lifelong rebellion against God with a few lapses in that rebellion to actually exercise faith in God. So a variety of people. But they were always commended for trusting God. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, it begins with the encouragement that we should draw from this cloud of witnesses, this to be inspired by them and how we live out our Christian faith. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we need to remember that while 2021 remains a mystery to us, God has already mapped it out. He has set a course before us. Now, we don't know what's ahead in that course. Just like a year ago when we were here and celebrating 2020, we could not even begin to imagine that a year later we would be sitting around wearing masks, and that masks could become kind of fashionable and we get them to match our outfits even. So it's important for us to recognize that God has mapped out our course. Our job is actually to run it unencumbered. We are to rid ourselves of anything that hinders our relationship with God, that prevents us from running the race effectively. Think of it as a marathon runner, because our Christian faith, our Christian walk, our Christian life is like a marathon. Marathon runners don't take a whole lot with them. They're not toting a wagon behind them with food and supplies. They don't have a cell phone in their hand FaceTiming people as they're running. They don't even carry a water bottle with them. They have their shoes, their socks, their shorts, their shirt, and maybe a hat. Their whole idea is to be as streamlined and as light as possible in order to run as fast as possible and to win the race. Now, for us, it's easy to understand the idea of casting off sin, because sin is in opposition to God. It opposes God. But however, what are the other things that might cause us to misstep in our faith? We ask ourselves, how do we spend our leisure time? Does it contribute to the kingdom of God, or does it take resources away from it? Do the people that we associate with give us opportunity to share our faith, or does it hinder our faith? Does the sharing of my opinions open or close doors? Sometimes we're just hindered by our preferences, not just by our sins. This morning, when I was just kind of scrolling through my news feed on Facebook, you know how I love Facebook, an article from the Christian Post caught my eye. And it was about a pastor of a very large church in Texas who was able to fulfill his lifelong dream over Christmas time, and that was to go deep sea fishing to hook and catch a great white shark. Now, great white sharks are not on the endangered list, but they are on the protective list. And so here he is, and he's out, and he's posting all of this, and along with the video on Facebook, and Christian Post talks about it, and how he and the captain talked about catching that shark was as close to getting to heaven as you possibly can without crossing over. I don't know, bringing a man-eating shark up to your boat, I'm not thinking that sounds like heaven to me. But here, in the middle of a pandemic, where people don't even know how they're going to make ends meet, where people are fearful to go out, he's jetting across country, going out in a very expensive trip in order to hunt a protective species. And then posts it on Facebook and other social media, saying that it is close to being in heaven as anything here on earth can be. I don't know about you, but I can readily see how that might actually turn somebody off to hearing from him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can see how maybe that trip could have maybe helped some people with their expenses. Oh, to be young and reckless. Yeah, not so young. In this passage, we see that our ultimate example is not those jet-setting pastors and Christian leaders, but our ultimate example is Christ, who set aside his glory in heaven in order to become man. He who knew the worship of the heavenly beings, the heavenly hosts, came to experience the scorn of not just mankind, but the religious variety of mankind. The one who gives life had his life taken from him. He refused to save himself on the cross in order that we could ultimately be saved. He was raised the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, demonstrating that his work is completed because he entered heaven and sat back down. He made it possible for those who confess him as Lord, which is a lot more than just believing, but meaning that you're going to yield your self-interest, your rights for his kingdom's sake. Those who confess him as Lord and Savior, one who forgives and declares righteous, can discover eternal life. But it does mean that we are to crucify those self-interests of ours and those preferences. So Pat O'Shea is going to come now to lead us in a prayer, reminding us and asking God's Holy Spirit to focus us not our preferences, but on his kingdom.
Let's pray. Father God, 2020 was a year filled with fear, uncertainty, and even panic. And we're sure that some of those will float over into 2021. Fuel the flames of last year, Father, we set our attention on TV and radio, social media, friends, family. We should have been focusing on Jesus. We know that Jesus is not going to mislead us. We know that Jesus is not going to misinform us. We know that Jesus is not going to guess. He knows. So my prayer, Father, would be that in 2021 and beyond, we focus on Jesus. We turn to him. He knows the answers to our questions that we have. He's the one that can calm our fears. So once again, that's my prayer, Father. In 2021 and beyond, we turn to the one who knows. The powerful, the mighty, the all-knowing, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray.
For Jesus to enter into our world, it had to be somewhat of a shock, because we live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with messages and images and worldviews that are incompatible with the Bible, that are incompatible with our Christian faith, our Christian walk. Even as Christ followers, we can easily drift into secular ways of thinking rather than biblical. We can adopt categories if the popular secular culture becomes the conforming agent within our lives. And Paul reminds us of the dangers of this, and that we are to constantly reject those things that do not draw us closer to God. To do it willfully, habitually, and consciously, training our minds to focus on the things that bring us close to Christ. It presupposes that we have the choice, the ability to choose what we will focus our minds on, how we will think, what we will feed our souls with. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this. Apostle Paul writing and says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, ponder these things, consider these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Thinking about whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise applies to every area of our life. But it would seem to be especially appropriate for evaluating how we spend our time, especially our consumption of popular culture, popular media, the music that we listen to, the TV and movies that we watch, the literature that we read. Now, this doesn't mean that everything that we watch, read, or listen to needs to be overtly Christian by nature. But we should ask ourselves, is this something that draws us closer to God, or is it something that draws us away from God? Is it something that helps us in our Christian faith and walk, or is it something that distracts us? Is it something that wants to create a desire to fellowship with other believers, or is it something that makes me more isolated from them? If these things keep us from wanting these things, drawing close to God and to one another, then it doesn't really pass the test of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If we really look at this verse seriously, maybe our media consumption, our habits, may have to change. Our obedience to this then becomes an example for others to follow, which is the good news. The bad news is our disobedience in doing this also becomes an example for those to follow. So I'm going to ask Conrado Ibai to come this morning and to lead us in a prayer, reminding us to focus on that which is good.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, last 2020, oh God, we are distracted. We are worried. We are confused, oh Lord, because of this deadly pandemic, oh God, that we experience, oh God. Even this 2021, oh Lord, we are worried and confused, oh God. What will happen on this year, oh Lord? We know, Lord, that you are always there for us, oh God, in protecting us. We know, Lord, that you always guide us, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an inspiration because of your word that you give to us every day, oh God. We know, Lord, that this word that you give it to us, Lord, we can focus on you. Help us, Lord, to overcome this struggle that we have, oh God. In spite of worrying, oh God, in spite of confusion regarding this year, oh Lord, help us, Lord, to focus on you. Help us, Lord, to concentrate to the word that you gave it to us, oh God. And help us, Lord, to fix on you. We believe, Lord, that you said on your word, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for these promises, or for this reminder to us, oh God, that we may fix on you in spite of this deadly pandemic, oh God, that we experience, oh God, that we need to fix on you because you are the God who heals us, oh God. So, Lord, once again, we thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now we come to the time of our reflection. Are we willing to keep our eyes forward? To be able to set aside our preferences for things in order to fulfill running the course that's before us in 2021. Am I able to turn off the TV, recognizing that Christ left glory to come to rescue me? Seems like a minor adjustment in my life compared to what he made. So what are those things that we might have to adjust, to yield, to crucify, in order to serve him better?